tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Today we're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. In our previous lesson of understanding the end time, we talked about the seven trumpets. The second coming of Jesus will occur at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which is the last trumpet, of course. Now, today, we're going to learn the details of what happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the second coming is foretold in many places in Scripture. The passage I want to read to you right now, though, was given just at the time of his departure from the earth. It's found in Acts chapter number 1. Now, what had happened was Jesus had been crucified. He spent 3 days and three nights in the grave. Then he rose again. For the next 40 days, he showed himself alive to many people. He would appear to different people at different times. At one time, he appeared to a crowd of 500 people. He gave us infallible proof that he, in fact, had risen from the dead. Now, after this 40 days, he led his disciples out to the Mount of Olives. And as he gathered them together, he gave them final instructions. He said, go back to Jerusalem and stay there until you're endued with power from on high. Now, he told them this because many of them lived in Galilee and they could have just gone home. Galilee was about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. So he said, go back to Jerusalem, stay there until you are endued with power from on high. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost in a few days. Now, after he gave them these instructions, he said, now, the reason you need the Holy Ghost so much is because it's going to give you the power you need to fulfill my commission to you. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the world. Now, after he gave them these final instructions, the Bible says he lifted his hands and he blessed them. And then after the blessing, suddenly his feet leave the ground. Can you imagine how startling this was? You're standing here, he's talking to them, and they've been talking to him. Now his feet leave the ground and he starts up. They're trying to figure out what is going on here. Every eye is riveted on Jesus as he ascends. Finally, he reaches the level of cloud cover. And the Bible says that a cloud received him out of their sight. And they're looking, still hoping to catch one more glimpse and maybe even wonder, well, perhaps he will come back. Well, while they're standing there, all of them gazing up into the sky, the Bible says that two men in white apparel stood by them. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And these two special messengers from God said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, now here's the promise, listen to it carefully. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven just now, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. It's the promise that Jesus is coming back to the earth. Now, these disciples, they had no clue that the promise would last for 2,000 years. It hasn't happened yet, and it's been almost 2,000 years from that time right now. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. This is a firm promise, and it's the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. One thing we need to understand as we study the second coming, because this is going to affect every single one of us, every single human being upon the earth. The second coming is not going to be like the first coming. And Jesus felt it was so important to make sure we understand that, because he knew that in the times right before his second coming, there would be people show up claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be even the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we've already witnessed that. Every once in a while, you'll hear in the news, oh, there's a Messiah, whether it's Lord Maitreya in London or whether it's a Messiah showing up in the Middle East somewhere. There's all kinds of reports. And Jesus knew that was going to happen. So in Matthew 24, which is the Bible's most famous prophecy chapter, Jesus gave us instructions about what the second coming would be like. It's not going to be a baby being born in a stable, laid in a manger. It's not going to be Jesus slipping through the back door of the world and mysteriously showing up somewhere. That's not what it's going to be like. Here's what Jesus said. This is Matthew 24:23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, I'm glad that phrase is in there, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Ignore it. Don't pay any attention to it. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Why? Verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus is telling them, don't ever paying attention to people that say Messiah's here, Messiah's there. You know, a lot of people believe the Muslim Messiah is coming, called the 12th Imam or the Mahdi. And if that would happen, don't pay any attention to it, because when I come back, it's going to be as the lightning flashes from the east to the west. I am coming in the clouds of heaven. I am coming in a dramatic fashion. I'm not going to show up somewhere in the world. I will show up in the skies of heaven, and every eye shall behold me. Now then, let's deal with more of the details of what exactly will happen at the second coming, because you and I are most likely going to live to see this in our own lifetimes. Continuing on in Matthew 24, verse number 29, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes or the nations of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming. They shall see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see that when Jesus comes, every eye shall behold him, and he will send his angels to gather his elect. Now, the scripture tells us more about how all this is going to occur. Later on in the 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 40, it says there that when the rapture happens, the second coming happens, then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Imagine two men out working in the field. They're either driving tractors or maybe they're doing something with the ground. And all of a sudden, one of them will leave the ground and head into the sky. Maybe he's witnessed to his friend Joe here and told him, you know, the Lord's coming back. You need to get ready. But Joe didn't want to hear it. He didn't pay any attention. He didn't believe. Now, all of a sudden, his friend leaves, and as he watches him go up, he screams out to him, wait, wait, hey, wait. But it's too late. And he watches him go into the sky. The Bible says also that two women shall be grinding at the mill. One of the things they normally did in Bible days, women would grind wheat into flour or corn into cornmeal, whatever they were doing. And you saw it all the time. So Jesus was using this as an example. You'll see two women working together in today's terminology, maybe they're in the flower garden, and they're working together, weeding the flowers. And all of a sudden, one woman is going to be talking to the other, and she's getting no response. She looks up, and she sees a pile of clothes laying there. Now, I don't know for positive the clothes will be there, but we do know that Jesus left his clothes when he rose from the dead. They were left in the tomb. So perhaps the clothes will be laying there in a pile, and she'll look up and see her friend as she's heading through the sky, and she realizes the rapture. She told me about this. So two women shall be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. And you can repeat that scenario with all the possible things that are going on in the world at that particular time. In Luke 17, it says that two will be in a bed, one taken, the other left. Maybe a husband and a wife. Perhaps the husband doesn't serve God, the wife does. 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, the husband wakes up. Something bothers him. It's like the bed had moved beside him. And so he reaches over. She's not there. And he looks up just to see her feet as they disappear through the ceiling. Immediately, he knows what it is because she's been talking to him for a long time. She's been praying for him for a long time. He runs out, and he sees her clear the roof line and head through the sky. Probably the sky will be illuminated by the brightness of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he may cry out, "Stay, wait, help me." Too late. Now, that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be marvelous if you're one taken. It's going to be terrible if you're one that is left behind. Okay, continuing on to understand what the rapture is really going to be like, because this is an event that's getting ready to happen soon. The Apostle Paul, teaching about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13 said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And he's speaking about their dead. It's common in the Bible when you refer to people who are saved and have died as being asleep, because the belief was so strong that death was temporary and that they would raise again. So concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, or are dead in Jesus, will God bring forth from the grave with him. If we believe Jesus died and rose again, then that's our evidence that all of us who die in Jesus and have the Spirit of Jesus in us, that we will be brought forth from the grave just like he was. So that's the Apostle Paul's trying to teach us here about the rapture. He goes on to say in verse number 15, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain here upon the earth at the time of the second coming shall not precede them which are asleep. For here's the way it's going to happen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God." Can you imagine how dramatic this is going to be? The Lord himself, here he comes with a shout of triumph, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And then it goes on to tell us, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first from the grave. Then we which are still alive will be changed from mortal to immortal, and we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So just like Jesus was caught up, we will be caught up, and so will we ever be with the Lord. So Christians that are alive on the earth at the time of the second coming, once the dead in Christ raise, when they reach ground level, we will all go up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now there's another instruction by the Apostle Paul concerning this, and he teaches us some other things that will happen. So I want to make sure we understand, because we're talking today about what the second coming of Jesus Christ is really going to be like. It's 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 51 through 54. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery, a secret. We shall not all sleep. We will not all die. There will be people alive on this earth serving Jesus Christ at the time of his second coming. We will not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Remember us talking about the seventh trump? Well, that's what we're talking about here. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. A lot of people have taught that we're going to just disappear at the last trump. But that's not what the scripture says. It says we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then it goes on to tell us, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That means they now have their immortal bodies. And we that are alive and remain will be changed. And he goes on to say, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. To be mortal means to be able to die. The Latin word morto means to die. That's the reason when you die, they take you to a mortuary. So this mortal body, which can die, will put on immortality, a new body that cannot die. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So let's make sure we understand how this is going to happen. So the last trumpet sounds, and our bodies, if we're still alive on the earth, will be changed in a moment from mortal to immortal. But then we're going to be caught up. Our feet will leave the ground just like Jesus' feet left the ground. The dead in Christ have now risen. We're going up together to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, thus death is swallowed up in victory. It goes on to say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Now, in the book of Revelation, there are many accounts of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is really not the book of Revelation. It's really the revealing of Jesus Christ. The first verse of Revelation chapter 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. The word that was translated revelation is a apocalypsis, and it means to reveal. So this is really the revealing of Jesus Christ to the world. The entire book of Revelation, 22 chapters, is devoted to dramatizing and telling the story of how the second coming is going to happen, because this is the crowning moment of all human history. This is when Jesus Christ comes to this earth to put down the thrones of men and to establish the long promised kingdom of God. So the book of Revelation tells several times accounts of his second coming from different angles. And we're going to look at some of those accounts right now, because it's so interesting to see what God wanted you and me to know. He devoted 22 chapters just to over and over again telling us about the marvelous revealing of Jesus Christ at his second coming to this earth. One account we want to look at is found in Revelation chapter number 6. This is the sixth seal account of the second coming. It says there in verse number 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, there are seven seals. We're looking at the sixth seal here right now, and it's given the account of what's going to happen when he comes. Great earthquake, sun became black. Remember this, because we're going to read it again in other accounts. Moon became as blood, stars of heaven fell. It goes on to say in this passage, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I mean, we're talking about this dramatic, incredible event of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It continues on to tell us that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man will hide themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, this is going to be a time, a wonderful time, when his people are caught up to meet him in the air, but it's also going to be a time when the people who lived in rebellion and did not give their lives to Jesus Christ and did not believe the gospel, the Bible teaches it will be a time of the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb against the disobedient. Sometimes we emphasize the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ so much that we forget to preach this part of the Bible, that for those who reject him ultimately will receive of the wrath of God, which we don't want anyone to do. That goes on to say in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Imagine it. People running to rocks, running to mountains, saying, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come. There's another account in Revelation 11, verse number 15, and this is under the seven trumpets. There are seven seals, there are seven trumpets. This is the seventh trumpet account of the second coming. Verse number 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this is a marvelous thing. This is the transition from human government, the kingdoms of this world, to the kingdom of God, the promised kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he's going to reign from that point in time forever and ever. It goes on to tell us in verse number 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. This is going to be an incredible event. It's the transition from the kingdom of men that's been ruling the world since the beginning of humanity into the promised kingdom of God. This passage is actually, this event is also referred to in Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 9. Daniel said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. So he saw the casting down of the thrones of human government, and the Ancient of Days did sit. This will actually be the realization of a prayer that all of us have prayed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Well, you're right now reading the prophecies about this soon coming event where that prayer will actually be realized. Then finally in verse number 18 of chapter number 11, it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. So what happens? The nations were angry. That causes them to invade Israel at Armageddon. This takes place at the Battle of Armageddon. The nations were angry, and they try to invade Israel to destroy her. That makes God angry because of their rebellion. But not only is it a time of wrath, but also notice here it says, and this is the time that the prophets and the saints are given their rewards. Thou should give rewards unto thy servants, the prophets. Then it goes on to say in verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. We'll see this several times. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Remember that from the back in the sixth seal? Same thing, lightnings, voices, thunderings, earthquake, great hail. Okay, we're studying about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, in our next segment, we'll continue to study the different accounts in the book of Revelation about the second coming of Jesus. Now, as we continue through this study about the second coming, I'd like to ask you to think about your position with Jesus Christ right now. Let's say you're one of those out in the field with a friend, and the second coming happens, and your friend goes, and you're left behind. You don't want to be there. And so one of the reasons we're doing this lesson today is we want to make sure that no one viewing this program or watching this DVD misses the rapture. We don't want you, if you're a woman working with a friend of yours, for you to be left. And we also don't want them to be left. That's what this whole course is devoted to. That's what this message today is devoted to, because all the prophecies point to the soon second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of if it will happen. It is going to happen. The only question is when, and will you and I be ready? Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24. He said, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, your Lord doth come." We want you to be ready. I want to be ready. Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You will want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.